It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bird Show.
All right, I think Star here has two agendas. First, I think she was listening to Nicole Forrester here over the last week.
You mean Delilah?
Delilah came on with us, and she was the stripper.
Not that Delilah, honey.
Delilah.
That's polar opposite.
That's a sweet, clean cut, Delilah. Mm-hmm.
From Tattletales that alleges that she had a one-night stand with Josh Duhamel.
Mm-hmm.
And some people believed her story, others did not. So I think Star here... I think she's got two agendas, and the first is that she knows Nicole, and she's got a strong opinion about Nicole,
okay.
And she also feels like Delilah slash Nicole Forrester sort of disrespected the stripping industry.
Okay.
So she wants to defend that as well. Hey, Star.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
All right.
All right. So when you were listening to Nicole Forrester last week, what were you thinking as you heard her words?
Well, to be honest, it made me more and more angry the more I listened. You guys pretty much nailed it on the head. Like you said, I know one of you in there said you were staring her down. Yes,
that
made her...
Jen, giving her a stink eye.
Yes, Jen. It was uncomfortable for all of us.
That would make her very nervous, and she would stomp out that quick if she was under that pressure. But the thing that really is bothering me is when she mentioned her children. Mm-hmm. She has some nerve to mention her children.
Okay.
Now, for those that didn't hear, Nicole has two kids. One, I think, is 13 and one is 10, and the children did not know that she stripped. And she was really upset that the story came out now, and this is the way the kids found out. Is that what was bothering you?
Well, what bothers me even more is the fact that I am a single mother of 13 years. I've been in the business. I worked for the phone companies during the day and in the clubs at night. Not all of us are like Nicole. We're not out to, you know, Nicole's been waiting for Josh to come along for 15 years, and if it wasn't Josh and it was someone else, it would have been the same thing.
How do you know this?
Because that's her character. I mean, straight off, like, I've worked with her for years. We've been in situations where I've gotten, you know, customers to give me a lot of money and say, hey, bring a girl. I'll bring Nicole. She'd be the first one to cut your throat. She will tell your customer, give me 800, give her two. The people in the business that know Nicole, I've known her for over 10 years. They know the same thing. They stay away from her. It's so bad that customers will call in to see if she is working before they will even come in, and they will be like, well, sorry, Star, you know, I'm going to have to come later if Nicole's there.
Really?
But even if what you're saying is true and you guys work together and she just really has this nasty reputation, and let's just say that she did target Josh as soon as he walked in there, and I think none of us believe the story that she didn't know who he was.
Right.
Let's say she did, right? Let's say she did.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
And you know what? I actually was with a friend of mine that is acquaintance to Nicole. I don't talk to Nicole. I was in the car with that friend in October, and when she got a phone call stating that Nicole was dating Josh from another acquaintance in our little group, we had probably about 10 or 15 girls that have been in this business for like 15 years, and, you know, we kind of end up having to be around these girls. We don't have a choice because we're in that environment every night. You know, did Nicole, you know, meet Josh and... You know, as far as going to the point of sleeping with him, I wouldn't doubt it. But if Josh has any brains, he would have seen that this was a problem when he first met her, unless she hid it. She's very slick. She may have, like, been subdued around him and not shown him her true self, but just to get in the door. But before she even went to his hotel, I had already heard that she was dating Josh.
I see. Now, they didn't. That's not part of her story. It said it all happened within 24 hours.
No, it's not.
Exactly.
It was a period of time.
No, it never happened between 24.
It was weeks.
She met him, and then that's when I got, when me and my girlfriend were in the car, got the phone call, like, oh, you know, you won't believe this. Delilah is dating Josh, Fergie's husband. I'm like, oh, great, this poor man. The first thing I thought, I even said it out loud in front of my friend, does he even know what he's dealing with?
This is the first time publicly that's been said. You might have known something behind the scenes we didn't, but she never said that.
Yes, she did.
That was a couple of weeks? Yes. I don't remember that. I thought it happened really fast.
No, she didn't.
No, I said that.
She said on the air that he came into the club and got her phone number. They traded messages and texts and phone calls. And then I think it was 2 weeks later that he called her and told her to come to the St. Regis.
I don't recall that at all.
Yeah, said that, and that's how it was reported in the Inquirer, too.
So in those two weeks, you say that you knew that there were text messages and flirting and quote-unquote dating going on?
I didn't know all the details. All I knew is in October, the end of October, I was with a girlfriend of mine, which is my best friend, knows Delilah very well also for many years, and she got the phone call stating that, oh, you won't believe it, Delilah's dating Josh Dumas. I'm like, oh, does this man even know what he's gotten himself into? This girl is known for calling husbands, calling customers wives, things of that nature. She's known for being dirty like that. And it's just sad that she's the first one out of all of the girls that I know that are good girls that raise their children. I've never even seen her. I've seen her with her son once in 10 years.
So you feel like she threw the parent card out there just to protect herself is what you feel?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these headlines, and they're making me sick. All-American mother. This other one, headline says it says stripper that happens to be a mother. No, you're way off. mother that happens to be a stripper. No, you're way off. This is a stripper that happens to be a mother. I've only seen her children once. And I've been with my girlfriend once again. Like I told you, I don't deal with Nicole because of the way she is. She's, a party girl, and, the good girls don't really hang too much with the party girls. We try to stay away from them because they're cutthroat, they're dirty, and they will stab you in the back quick.
You're not the only one to call up and say this morning. For whatever reason, this break is, assassinate Nicole's character break.
Well, and just about a couple years ago, I was with my same girlfriend, and we were in the car, we were going out, and she got a phone call stating that Nicole was arrested in the movie theater with her children.
For doing what?
Being completely drunk, and the manager of the theater, and like I said, I wasn't there, and I didn't see it myself, but I sure heard the phone call come in like, oh, Delilah's in trouble, what happened? She's at the movie theater, she got arrested, the manager of the movie theater said that she was way intoxicated with her two children alone, and they came and arrested her. She's never even had her children, and it angers me. 13 years I've been raising my son alone without a father and struggling through life, and I can't even go back in a club and make any money because of girls like these. I have quit for 2 years now. I saved my money and bought a club, and now I'm in a situation where I would love to be able to go back in and make money for my son that's 13, that knows well aware of what I do, and I'm very proud of it. I've never done nothing. I've never sold my soul. And these girls that are selling their souls and ruining the business, there was a time 10 years ago when I used to go home with at least $1,500 a night easily.
Wow.
Now you're lucky if you get $200 or $300 because you're fighting girls. What we used to charge for private dances has gone down three times in the past, three times the amount. Now, I've been here, like I said, a long time. My godfather owned a lot of clubs in Atlanta, so I've been in the industry many years. The real wives have nothing on us. Mm-hmm. The real housewives in Atlanta have nothing on us. We live the street life, and Nicole is the scum of Atlanta, and everyone in the dance community knows it. And it's just really sad that she has a nerve to bring up her kids.
Hey, Star, let me pause you for just 1 second, because here's Morgan. Hey, Morgan, good morning. You're on Q.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we're not done with Star yet. Go ahead, Morgan.
I was driving last week to meet a client, and I almost drove off the road. I got into the middle of the conversation that you were having, but I recognized the voice, and I thought, oh, my God. And then when I heard the end of the story, I actually called this show and left my number with you and never heard anything back. I danced at the Cheetah for 4 years, and I also worked with Delilah, and I totally agree with Star. I know Star as well. And we totally avoided her because this woman, first of all, does not care about her children at all. And any money that she does make, particularly anything she makes, goes straight up her nose from noon on. Don't understand how she even, she has given any kind of exotic dancer such a bad name in the Atlanta area. I was involved with a gentleman, and he has more notoriety and more money than this other gentleman, but I never crossed that line, and I was not out to destroy his marriage. He was married. I never crossed that line. That's an unwritten rule in this business. You just don't do that.
Well, I'm assuming she felt like she thought that she hit the lottery.
That was what she was looking for. She had nowhere else to go. She cannot get a job in any other club in Atlanta. I don't know what happened to her at her previous club, but that's why she's at Tattletales. And, of course, Tattletales, they're loving this because they're going to exploit her for as much business as they can get now because she's been all over the news.
Y'all are angry at her.
Man, you hate her.
I am embarrassed. I am so embarrassed for us, those of us that are good people, those of us that were taking care of our families, that we were. I am in real estate. And I danced at night to take care of my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a bad person. And like Star said, there are those of us that never cross that line, that we woke up every morning and we could look in the mirror knowing that we didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you two a question. Because you talk about how she doesn't, you know, we focus on her kids. And
she did. She used the parent card up front. Her attorney
Let me ask plain devil's advocate. Let me ask, because she had said they didn't know what she did for a living. So let me just pose the question. Is the reason y'all didn't see her with her kids because she didn't expose her kids to the clubs?
No, she was too busy partying and screwing everybody in town.
Okay.
And like Star said, screwing everybody else out of money. Those of us that sit for $1,000 an hour and don't do anything, then you get somebody like Delilah that will screw anybody for God knows what amount of money. She thinks $20,000 is a lot of money. That is a drop in the bucket.
Star, you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I've made that in one night.
You made $20,000 in one night?
Yes.
One night?
You must be really good. Talented.
What did you do on that night?
I had a customer that had come in. He was intoxicated and was very sick, and he had a lot of money, and he just was like, look, I don't care, I just want to go somewhere private. You know, he handed me his credit card and he's like, just take care of me so that I, you know, I don't make a mess all over the place. And I took care of him for like 4.5-5 hours. I tipped my waitress good on top of whatever he tipped my waitress. And, you know, you can make good money. These people, when they feel like they can trust you, they will give you whatever you need to survive, you know, and succeed in life. It's just girls like this are destroying the industry. We can't even go in and make money anymore.
When you said that your client was sick, he was throwing up because he was so drunk?
Yeah.
And so he paid you that much money to just take care of him so he wouldn't be embarrassed in front of people?
He was very well known in the entertainment industry, and he didn't want to be seen like that.
Okay, you know, got it. That makes sense now.
I had to pay $20,000 for somebody to protect me on Big Wicked Man.
but you know what? The assumption of the normal human being is to say, hey, something was going on.
Hey, Star, I hate to cut it short, but we got to take off here. So basically what you're saying here is be really careful about any words that are coming out of her mouth, because as far as you know, this is not a real credible source.
She's never going to be credible.
Do you think she slept with Josh Duhamel?
I think if they did sleep together that night, Josh knew all about her as far as her drug habits and stuff, because it's very hard to hide. I mean, you can look at her and tell she's all messed up. But Josh should have been more careful. You're in that industry. Talk to the manager. Talk to a girl that you seems really cool that'll help you out. You know what I'm saying? And push you in the right directions to stay away from people like Delilah. And these clubs need to stop hiring these girls. Get the good girls back. You know what I mean? Let's make some money.
All right, Star. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Right, bye-bye. Yeah, she needed to say that.
Yeah, she's awesome. she's been thinking about that for a long time.
She has said that to a lot of people close to her a lot. She has lost friends over that being inside her head.
That girl needed to be her.
It's the Burt Show.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so these were Jill's words yesterday to us.
We had a really great time last Saturday when we decided to have dinner, but it was kind of loud in there, and we wanted to talk, and decided to, like, just go back to my house. We kissed.
Did you guys do it?
No, not at all. Actually, I got an emergency phone call from work. I went into the other room maybe for, like, 20 minutes at the most.
Okay.
So what was the last thing that was said? Like, how did the date totally end?
Well, he kissed me and said that he would call me and that we would, you know, get together.
Well, now, Jeff and I both thought initially that it was just
too fast. Soon.
Like, she called us by Wednesday morning, so it was really just Sunday, Monday, Tuesday that had gone by, because they hung out Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think it was that crazy that he hasn't called her.
And was there an exchange on Sunday or no exchange at all?
No exchange. I just thought if it was he left at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, I thought he's not interested.
Unless he realized that he wasn't going to get everything that he wanted, thought, okay, you know what, I'll cut the night short tonight and we'll try this again next week. But there's been no other call.
Or he saw something in her apartment, or she's just a bad kisser.
Or something happened. Hey, Jill.
Or his wife came back to town.
Or something like that. Hey, Jill.
Hello?
Hello, Jill.
Hello.
Is this Jill?
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. Okay, you've had 24 more hours to think about it. You have any idea what he might say here in a couple of seconds?
Oh, no. I'm curious, though.
Is she going to be listening? Like, she's going to be on hold, right?
She'll listen. They won't have any interaction together. Because
harsh.
Yeah, well, he won't give us the truth if he knows you're on the line. So what we'll do here is we'll put you on hold. We'll talk to him, and then we'll get you back on after he hangs up so we get total honesty from him.
Okay.
My stomach hurts for you right now.
Sometimes you just don't want to know the truth at all.
Especially it's harsh. Just
don't she does.
You sure you want to know?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it's better now than never, right? Or later.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me put you on hold, okay? And we'll talk to you in a second.
She got confused on the thing.
Because she's now as nervous as you said she
was. Later. Yeah. Some.
So it's worth more than now. Larry, you're being inappropriate.
Okay, so here, his name is Russ. Hey, Russ.
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
First, thanks for coming on with us. I know,
sure,
I understand
sure.
It's awkward, for sure.
Well, you know, being on a radio is kind of cool, though.
That's funny.
To be honest with you, it's really overrated.
Jill is not on the line, so you can speak freely. And really, just what she's looking for here is just a little bit of closure, because she thought everything went great on Saturday night. And then as of yesterday, Wednesday, she hadn't heard from you, not a text. Not an email, not a call, and she's just going over the date, and she's like, what did I do wrong here so I don't make the same mistake again? So can you kind of fill us in?
Yeah, nothing went wrong. She's good. She's great. She's a great girl, but I don't know. I mean, I guess I've just been busy these past couple days. I've been staying at my parents' house. There's been, the rain, their house got a little bit of flooding, so I've sort of been helping them with that, and there wasn't anything wrong with Jill. I guess I'm not going to be calling her back, because I kind of feel she wasn't that honest with me.
About what?
Frankly. Well, I guess there was a point at which in the evening she went into the other room to deal with something, I think with work, and she has a kid's bedroom, and she never mentioned having a kid. And, the bedroom is completely decked out for a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't have a problem with kids, but I kind of feel odd that we went an entire evening without her once mentioning that she had a child.
And if she doesn't, that's even creepier.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, there's a story that should go with it, or at least some sort of, explanation. If we're going on a date and it's going well, I think that she owes me that sort of explanation, or just to give me the option to have an opinion about it.
Now that's an interesting take, because we've talked about this on the air before. Like, if you're a single mom, let's say, then when do you, I mean, you guys haven't even gone through a whole first date yet. So when is she really obligated to bring up that she has a child? Is it the first date? Is it the fifth date? Or is it when you walk into her house and you're obviously going to see the room?
She suggested that we go back to her house, and I feel like she should have said it if that was what she wanted to do. Because I would probably see, it's a kid's home.
I agree with that, because if they had just been out to dinner twice and maybe it hadn't come up yet and then it comes up on the third date, I wouldn't fault her as much. But if she's bringing somebody back to her place,
you got to tell.
I agree.
And she doesn't have any roommates, right?
She what?
She doesn't have any roommates, right?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't mention anyone living in the home with her, so I don't know if she had a roommate. I didn't know she had a kid, so who knows if she has a roommate.
What exactly did you see in that room that was just a tip off that, okay, this is a child's room?
Pink and Barbie dolls and a bunk bed and,
Okay. Yeah, generally.
I mean,
adults.
That could be her room, but then that's a whole other problem.
Because if you'd said like Star Wars toys and stuff like that, I'd be like, well, no, that's not necessarily a kid. But
right.
The Barbie thing, yeah. I don't know many adult women that have the Barbies out.
And how did you see that room? Were you just heading on over to a bathroom or something, and you passed that same room and looked in, or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, I went upstairs and went to the bathroom, and then there was a couple doors open, so I just sort of peeked my head in. And
oh, I would have done the same thing.
Yes.
Snooping around
yeah.
just a little bit.
You have to be nosy.
Well, especially
I mean, it was a bit, maybe a bit nosy, but it was more just curious.
Okay.
You know.
All right, so the fact that she didn't...
I don't know if I'm ready to deal with somebody who wasn't honest about that from the beginning.
I understand that. That's awkward.
Outside of that, did the date go well? I mean, if you would have never laid eyes on that room and never had an idea that there's a child involved, would you have called again over the last couple of days?
Yeah, I probably would have. So I mean, it's been busy with my family, but I mean, I was intending on calling her anyway tomorrow or the next day, but when I got the call from you guys, I just sort of held off.
Well, isn't it the truth, like, if you're really, really super into somebody, though, you just hit them with a text or something over, like, 48 hours?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's within the next day or two, so I guess I'm not that interested.
Okay.
If she was able to give the kid up for adoption, would you call her?
I know Katie's looking.
Maybe.
All right, Russ, we'll let you go. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for being honest. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, guys.
Okay, dude, thank you.
I appreciate it. No problem.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Jill's back on with us. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Hi. So we just got done talking to Russ, like you heard, I'm sure, and he said the fact that he was at your house and he saw this bedroom that was obviously decorated for like a 4 or 5-year-old girl that he assumed was your daughter was really sort of turning him off, and that the fact that you never brought it up.
Yeah, I don't have kids, and I just can't believe... I don't know. My sister is a flight attendant, and I take care of her daughter, my niece, like a week out of the month.
Okay.
And for him to have gone and seen that room, he would have had to have gone upstairs into my house and, like, past the bathroom and seen that.
So he had to go out of his way to go to that room.
Was the door open?
Oh, my God. This is so wild.
Was the door to the room open or closed?
It might have been. I figured it would be closed, but it might have been cracked.
I think what he said was he passed it on the way to the bathroom, but he did say it was upstairs. So is there a bathroom downstairs also he could have used?
Yeah.
So he went upstairs and went down the hall too far, and he was big time snooping.
Yeah, but I would have done the same thing.
You would have gone upstairs.
No. You can't blame him.
You wouldn't have gone upstairs.
No way.
You might have snooped through like the medicine cabinet or something, but you would have walked upstairs.
If the bathroom to use is downstairs, you
if
would
I
not
didn't
go.
Know there was a bathroom downstairs and I went upstairs. I've done that before at a friend's house that was having a party. I walked around the downstairs and couldn't find a bathroom, so I went upstairs to use the bathroom. If that was the case, like, I would have definitely looked around.
And depending how long she was on that phone call, it might have been more than 20 minutes. I would have walked around. I got bored.
I think you were on that phone call, he took the time to go and snoop
Absolutely.
Through the house.
Well, we can get it back on and ask him.
I guess we could. But either way.
It doesn't matter. That's shady.
I mean, unless he was trying to find out where my bedroom was or something. But still, I don't think I want.
Were you in here? Didn't you say I went into my bedroom? So he knew where your bedroom was.
Yeah, I know. I mean, whether he was... I don't know. I don't know why he was trying to get... I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
So either way... Like, if we got him back on right now, would you be interested in even having a second date with this guy now?
Not so much. I'm really glad that he was honest, I guess, about that. But he just made a lot of assumptions, and that's wild.
Well, and now with the whole radio thing, and it's just going to be weird.
Now it's awkward.
I have to say, call it.
So, I don't know him anyway, or any of his friends, so it doesn't matter.
Right. All right, so the bottom line is not your child, it's your niece, and he was either snooping through the house. Jen, I think the scenario that you painted about going up to use the bathroom because you couldn't find the one on the bottom floor, maybe 2 percentile of people would do that. I would search bottom of the house.
Now, I would understand going upstairs, but if there's a bathroom on the first floor,
I'd look
and
for
if,
that.
And if you have to walk
yeah,
past.
Yeah, I'd look for it first.
Okay, mm-hmm. But if you have to go upstairs and you use the bathroom, and then you have to walk past that bathroom and open a door that's either closed or cracked and look in there, that's no way. Could you imagine bringing somebody a first date over to your house? And what if she steps out of the bedroom and she's like, hey, and he's like, oh, hey, up here. Up here. It's just creepy.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake, actually, Jill, overall, was taking him back to your place so early.
Well, I mean, that's for her.
First date.
That's for her.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I mean, that dude's a stranger.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times does this happen in Atlanta every weekend? A million times.
I don't know.
I'm not saying it's safe.
I don't know.
On a first date?
I just think that, like, telling some guy where you live and all that stuff right away.
It's dangerous.
I don't think that's smart.
Well, I had friends in the neighborhood. I mean, and they knew that someone was over. So I guess I felt comfortable in that sense. Like, and I don't think I wouldn't have invited him over if I didn't get the sense when I was at dinner initially with him that, you know, he wasn't, like, he didn't seem like a good guy. And
well,
I don't know.
Here's Katie. Good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to find out why he didn't just say something before he left the house. I mean, you know, he saw the room.
Because he'd have to admit to snooping.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, that's not
it's a natural thing.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not to go upstairs is not a natural thing.
Okay, so why did he kiss her and tell her he'd call her later? Why wasn't he just an honest man and say...
Well, he's a dude.
He's a guy.
Exactly.
Well, women do
the
same thing.
That's the problem.
Give me a break. Women do the same thing. If you don't have a good first date, you don't go, hey, thanks a lot, but this didn't work out for me.
I would.
Well, it's a rare exception.
Well...
Most people aren't confident to do that in person to somebody they barely know.
Right.
You leave all those rude comments for when you date somebody for a long time.
Right. All right, Jill, we'll let you go. At least you got closure on the whole thing. It's, you know, it's not going to work out for whatever reason.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, Jill. Right. Thanks for calling. All right. Bye-bye.
It's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Burt Show.
The last time y'all were so excited about Twilight, we had a kid on the show named Taylor Lautner. And nobody had heard about this kid, but I heard that this movie's going to be pretty hot and all, so we'll give this Taylor Lautner kid a shot, right? This was him a couple years ago.
I remember my agent telling me, you know, this thing has the potential of being big. And I was like, really? I've never heard of it before in my life. And, as soon as I was cast is when I read the first book. And I was like, wow, it's a great story. This could be cool.
Do you have any fear at all that now, because this career of yours is going to be propelled and you're going to be so in the spotlight, now you're a target for paparazzi, you can't go anywhere because of cameras. I mean, this is going to be your life, I think, Saturday morning.
You put that in a scary way, man. Well, we'll see. I mean, I never really thought about it like that.
I don't know if he was just playing naive there or what.
No, I think he was really naive.
Or
I think so.
Or just being humble.
I think he was really naive.
I think
to
he
realize
was too.
What, you know, what this movie did to propel him to be such a superstar now. And, yeah, I think he had no idea. Like, these guys in studio with us have
Jamie
no idea.
Jamie and Eddie are in here. How are you? Well, you have an idea. Eddie's been he was in the first movie.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen overnight. I think that's what he was shocked about, your assessment. I think it takes a couple of nights.
Two nights, three nights, 72 hours before? How are you today, Jamie?
Before we get too far into the interview, can we just remind Wendy that Melissa has a broken foot?
Why is that?
What's going on? Sitting in the middle of these two boys.
Because I wedged myself in between two hot guys.
That was no accident.
Calculated.
And I look and Melissa's
calculated move.
She's in the corner of the room leaning against the wall looking very pitiful.
She asked,
and I'm going to be the ultimate wing woman. So I said, no, honey, you stay there. Get in the middle.
It's playing out right here. Vampires, wolves. It's playing out right here.
Living everything missing out in my fantasies right now.
She's in a vampire sandwich right now. She's good.
I love it. I'm not complaining.
You guys must be right now.
Right?
This is it.
It's a pretty tame fantasy.
You know what? The dreams continue on after this.
Oh, damn.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. She's ready to go.
I'm good. I am content.
How you guys? This must be a whirlwind for both of you guys right now. Is it city after city type thing?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, pretty tiring, but having lots of fun.
Now, Jamie, what role do you play in the new movie?
Caius. He's one of the leaders of the Volturi.
And Eddie, this is not your first rodeo. You were in the first one, and your character?
I play Laurent. I reprise the role of Laurent, yeah.
Do you, at some point, do you, because this is going to be Jamie's first Twilight movie, is there, at some point, being a Twilight veteran, do you pull him aside and do you go, dude, let me tell you what's in store for you over the next couple of weeks or months or whatever?
Well, not necessarily, because this kid has quite a resume. He was in Sweeney Todd and a bunch
of...
Oh, yeah, and he's going to be in HP. Harry Potter.
HP, baby.
HP, baby. So he's been around the block a couple of times. He's a little whore.
Ooh, cheeky, stop bro. It.
But this is something different. I mean, obviously the hype on this movie, I mean, has been playing out for months and months and months and months now. Is there anything that you said to him that can prepare him for what's about to happen?
No, but he did say something interesting the other day, which is he still gets shocked at the amount of fan attention and love. And at being in it for about a year, I expect it whenever we go to big events where there's a lot of people gathered and there's that group collective, but it's over as soon as you walk away. I mean, I think... It exists in that time, mm-hmm. but when you're in the car going home and you live in your life, there's not going to be groups of people following you screaming at you for the rest of your life.
Okay,
unless you're Taylor or Rob or Kristen.
Right. Now, do you like that better, though? Do you like having this cult following that's dedicated to you from here on out, even after, you know, the movies are done, you'll still have these fans that are following you. Do you like the fact of being able to get in the car and go somewhere and have a life?
Oh, absolutely. I love maintaining some sort of anonymity. But being a part of this huge project is wonderful because these fans will continue supporting you in other projects that you do.
Right.
No doubt. Jamie, when you got the call, finally, that you were going to be in this movie, what was your reaction? Was it on the phone? Were you in front of somebody? How does that work?
I was at a friend's birthday party, and my initial reaction was I went to the bar and bought another drink.
Nice.
and then I sort of started shaking a little bit, and then I actually shed a tear. A single, solitary tear, but a tear nonetheless.
Very man comment. Yeah.
Okay, suck it up. Okay, we're good.
How many people did you tell beforehand that you auditioned for this movie?
I told no one.
Really?
Absolutely no one. I wanted to be in the first one, and I always find that, you know, when you're auditioning for a job, if you tell someone, if it's a big gig, you tell someone about it, everyone gets really excited, you get excited, and then if you don't get it, you get so depressed. So I just kind of keep it under wraps, and I got it and told everyone, and they were very happy, which is great.
Eddie, was it the same for you on the first movie where you didn't tell anybody, or did you tell everybody?
Well, there was no reason to tell anybody because I didn't even know what it was. Right. I didn't even want to audition for it when I read the material because my character was talking about where the humans were tracking us. And I thought, well, if I'm saying the humans and I'm not one, then this is crap. So I didn't want to go in on it, but the casting director was a friend of mine and she'd put me in several movies, so I went in. And then I fell in love with Catherine's energy. And then when I got the part, I read the books and then saw how wonderful the series was.
So. I'm always curious about preparing for these kind of roles. Like you said, you met Catherine, who's obviously the author of the series. And like
she was the director of the first one.
Director of the film. Okay. And then did you get to meet the author? That's Stephanie Meyer, right?
Yeah.
Have you met her as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And so like what kind of preparation goes into diving into this completely different world?
Well, Stephanie Meyer, she paints the world, this world of the vampire very well. It's a whole new mythology. So if you just study or just take what she wrote in the paper, you're halfway there. Then you just bring your own unique individuality. But the rules are very specific. It's unlike any vampire world that you've known. There's no stakes to the heart. There's no coffins. We don't sleep. So the rules are very clear. And if you just bring yourself, you're like there.
She's also incredibly descriptive in the way that she portrays her characters. Anyway, she will talk about how a character, for instance, the character Arrow, played by Michael Sheen, she says in the book that his voice is like feathers. So, you know, you have to just pick up on little things that she's written in the book and just take from that, because, you know, that's what's so fantastic about the film, is that there's everything is there already. You don't have to really think so deeply about the character. Everything is in the books. Everything is in the four books already written.
And are you responsible for picking those parts out, like that feathery part you just talked about? Are you responsible for reading the book and picking up on that, or does somebody do that for you guys?
Oh, you have to. If you're an actor, you know, with your... Wait, you will do the background research that you need to do to get your character there.
Are both of your characters in the third and fourth book as well?
I'm not in the third, but I'm in the fourth.
Okay.
I'm not in the third, but I'm not in the fourth.
So do you expect to come back for the fourth movie? You're like, hey, sign me up.
That is the plan.
Okay, that is already in the works?
Who knows?
He's got something. He's got something. He knows something that we don't know yet. Well, give us a snapshot of what it's like. I know you guys were at what, Mall of Georgia last night? Like, when you guys go out and you do these new moon appearances, give us a snapshot of what that's been like around the country for you guys.
Oh my God, will you marry me? Will you marry me?
Will you go to prom with me?
Will you go to prom with me? Thongs being thrown on stage.
Really?
That's plural, that was singular though. The actual event.
A thong.
Here in Georgia?
No, that was in, was it D.C., right?
Might have been Minneapolis. It was D.C.
I think it was D.C.
A thong's a thong. It doesn't matter what city it's in.
Actually, it does matter.
I got to be honest with you. I don't find a thong from Minneapolis attractive. No,
it's not. Are we talking about hundreds of people that show up? Or are we talking about thousands of people that show up?
Four and a half people showed up.
And one thong. 25% of the women that show up are throwing their thongs at you guys. And will you go to premieres? Or, I mean, you've seen the movie already?
I saw a very early cut where the CGI wasn't complete and it was just dots on the screen. And I liked it then, but it's been cut together now. And apparently it's 1,000 times better than that version. So, but I don't want to see it until I'm at the premiere. Mm-hmm. The premiere is next week. So we are going to be in attendance.
So it's going to be big to do LA premiere, star-studded. Do you guys get hit up for tickets for stuff like that? Like, is your like cousin calling you going, I want to come to...
Yeah, actually, yeah. I have a lot of extended family now, it seems.
Did you know about them before this role?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Honestly.
We understand that, man. So what's going on? I guess you guys can't publicly talk about the whole Robert Pattinson romance going on,
more,
set.
More than not being allowed to publicly talk about it, Jamie... You will not talk about it. He infuriates him, the very question.
Why is that?
Really?
I just don't think it's anyone's business. Yeah.
You're going to have to get over all that, man. I'm serious.
Well, no, I mean, I guess, you know, being an actor, you have to be prepared that your life is, you know, in the public spotlight, whatever. But, you know, there comes a point where if you're saying, I don't want to talk about this, that has nothing to do with you, I think people should be able to respect that. And it just seems to me like people don't respect it. And it's kind of irritating, I guess.
They absolutely don't respect that. And it almost makes it more of a topic. Like, people would probably let it go if the celebrities would just come out and say, look, this is the only time we're talking about it, that I'm never answering a question again.
But why should they? I don't see why they should have to come out and talk about it. I don't see why it's anybody else's business. I'm sorry. I get so agitated.
No, go ahead. Let's talk about it. No,
I'm really sorry.
It's true. But we do live in sort of like this tabloidy type world now. And I don't think it's any different now than it was back in the 60s. If you guys are on a screen, people are interested in you.
Yeah. I agree. But, you know, now with the internet and everything, it's so much more public. It's not back in the 60s, it was slightly more respectful. And now it just seems like any information is everybody's information.
Well, and it seems to me, too, that the couples that last are the ones that don't talk about it. Beyonce and Jay-Z don't even recognize the fact they're married.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't even talk about the fact that they're married. You know, Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow, like, refuse to show up on any red carpet together.
Mm-hmm.
And their marriage is strong, have two kids together.
It's because they
don't
like each other.
Will and Jada just a little bit. I mean, not too much.
Yeah,
they don't talk.
Yeah, so it just seems like the ones that last, like, really sort of, like, make that a rule in their relationship and kind of go forward with that. So I can understand it and respect it, but we still want to know about it.
Jamie,
as the public, we're still curious.
Could it get to a point with you, because it appears that you want to take the private route for sure. Let's say your character takes off, the public falls absolutely in love with you, you become this A-lister tomorrow, people can't get enough of you, man. So you get out of your apartment or your house and there's 50 paparazzi. You want to go and you want to go to Starbucks and there's 50 paparazzi. You turn into the male equivalent of Britney Spears. Do you give all this up? Do you give all this up and do something else, or do you embrace it?
It depends on if I'm still enjoying myself or not. If I'm not having fun in the job that I'm doing, then I'm not going to do it. I'd probably move somewhere really remote if that was to happen.
Yeah.
To somewhere in the middle of the countryside. And just be a complete hermit.
I would say Milwaukee, but they'll throw thongs at
And same for you. Would you move or would you deal?
If it was that intense, then I would move.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants that. That's kind of crazy.
I think there are some in LA that do want it. I mean, you could certainly get away from it, right? Well, if you really wanted to.
For me, and I know for Jamie and for a lot of other actors, we started this because of the craft. I mean, that's what we're doing. We didn't seek fame, and that's not, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a part of it. If you want to work at a certain level, they feed into each other. But at the end of the day, it's about the work.
Mm-hmm.
So if it becomes more about the fame and less about the work, then I'm going to take a step back. And get back.
Your voice sounds so nice in my headphones. It's really smooth.
Almost like feathers.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen any reviews for the movie?
Are there any reviews?
I don't even know. I was going to ask you if you guys have seen. Has anybody said anything negative at all?
What would be the point? People are going to see it anyway.
Yeah,
right.
It doesn't matter.
I was wondering if you read something that specifically said something bad about the movie or one of your roles, if that would really eat at you, or it's not a big deal.
I'd never read it. Yeah. I would never, ever read that. I mean, there are going to be people that hate what you do, mm-hmm. no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So just stay away.
Have you ever had anything like that kind of like punch you in the stomach and really like bother you for a day?
Yes, for a day. And then the reality is exactly what he said, is that there's no unanimous decision. Everybody, mm-hmm. I mean, if 99% of the people love you and they think you're brilliant, there's that one person who's like, I didn't believe him. Or, that was terrible.
Right.
You know, so and you can't please everybody. There's no point in even trying.
Isn't it amazing how you can have 99% of fans who love you, but that 1% just gets under your skin?
You do remember it.
Yeah, but it's
1%.
It's 1% though.
Right. And like you said, it doesn't matter on this movie anyway. All the critics could come out today and say this is the worst movie we've ever seen in our life, and it wouldn't stop one person from coming and seeing this movie. But everybody's saying great things about it.
I can't wait. I'm so excited
People
to see
stuff,
it.
People are stoked, you guys. Well, thank you for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I don't need to wish you luck because the thing is going to be number one, and you guys are both going to be very successful.
For and weeks and
I
weeks
wish
and
not.
Weeks.
I wish not paparazzi on you, Frank.
Thank you very much.
I wish no personal questions and paparazzi on you. Hey, good luck, you guys.
Yeah, thanks. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Here, Bird Show. Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Bird Show.
Did you guys catch what our caller's name is?
Amanda.
Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
I heard you're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing okay. Good. You know, from time to time over the last 8 years, we will get an email just like yours that is just, you're just confused by guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's always a bubbling confusion about the opposite sex, but at some point you're just like, why isn't this working for me? And I think you're probably there right now.
I am.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a recent breakup we're talking about that brought all this sort of introspection on?
Well, I'm 33 now. And it's like, I've never had a relationship last more than a year. Mm-hmm. You know, usually 6 months, it starts to go downhill. And it's just like, you start thinking at a certain age, I want to get married one day. And it's like, what am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, I think I say this every time we do this. Like, is it possible that you're not doing anything wrong at all? You just haven't met the right guy yet?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like, you know, I've dated quite a few guys, and it's like, it just never, for whatever reason, you know, after the 6 month period, it just starts to go downhill.
And is it usually your choice to get out of the relationship or their choice?
It's usually mutual. I mean, you know, once or twice I dumped someone or they dumped me, you know what I mean? It was never like a crazy breakup, really. But it was like more of a mutual thing.
But I admire the fact that you want to just stop the process right now, not to repeat the pattern, if there is a pattern, and try to do something different, you know? But it could be a case where, like Bert said, it just hasn't worked out, you know?
Right. And I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, the type of guy they date. I don't know. It's very weird.
What is your type of guy?
You know, usually he's a couple years younger, not significantly younger, but a couple years younger.
Cougar.
And, you know, I mean, I try, you know, to find someone you know, that has a job and, you know, I think has good morals. You never know, though. You know what I mean?
So maybe you're setting the bar too high. Maybe you got to get rid of that morals thing.
Or the job.
Or the job. Yeah, one or the other's got
to
go.
Casting with a wide net. They just have to, they have to know killing is bad and they have to get a paycheck.
God, women are so picky now, man. It was so much easier when I was dating. There were no morals at all. So much easier. What happened with the last guy that you were dating? Why did you break up?
I don't know. I mean, it was going great. And then again, like 7 months, I mean, we just, I don't know. He started to get aggravated with me and I started to get aggravated with him. I don't know if it's like I'm very, you know, I'm very into work and, you know, I consider myself well-read. And I think, I don't know if that's intimidating to him. I mean, he was super, you know, super sweet. Everything was going great at first. And then, I don't know, I got busy with work. He got busy with work. And it was like, it just kind of fizzled out.
Who did the breaking up?
It was totally mutual last time.
Who started the conversation?
I did.
Okay.
So you broke up with him then?
Okay. That was mutual.
Never.
It was mutual. I mean, like, it really was mutual, though.
Do you date people who are better or worse looking than you?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
worse.
She doesn't want to say.
Not to be your interpreter. I'm sorry.
Do you find yourself? Do you think that you date down?
No, I don't think I date down. I don't. I mean, maybe a little, but nothing crazy.
But I mean, if we were all hanging out and we looked at you and the guy that you're dating, you know, average guy that you're dating, at a restaurant, who would be the lucky one in the relationship, him or you?
Him.
Okay.
Have you tried dating guys your age?
Yeah, I have. They don't work either, really.
What about older guys?
I haven't really dated older guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I just want to stop and figure out what the problem is now.
Did you have a game plan, like a marriage game plan, like you were going to be married by 28 years old?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I thought so, you know, at a younger age. And then you hit 29 and you're like, okay, maybe I need to get rid of that plan.
Here's my whole flaw in this whole thing is like, and I think this is mostly women that have this life game plan.
Mm-hmm.
28 years old, I'm going to be married. 30 years old, I'm going to have my first kid. 32, second kid.
Right.
And when you don't reach those mental goals of yours, then all of a sudden you're doing something wrong when you might not be doing anything wrong at all. You just haven't found the right guy. You haven't rushed into a relationship that you don't belong in that would have ended up in a divorce anyway. Maybe you just wait. He just hasn't come along yet. Why do women panic like that?
Well, because we're in a pack and we seem, I think we feel behind because the people we're around a lot of the times and feel the pressure. Because if she's 33 and are all your friends married?
All of them. All of them are pregnant or have babies.
Right.
All
I think that's it. I mean, I think it's the ovary time clock more than anything that puts the pressure on it. Yeah. Well, and a lot of times you want to follow in the footsteps of your mom or what your family did. And most of our moms didn't pursue careers like we all do. I mean, she said that, you know, the last relationship fizzled because she was really focused on work. Well, how focused was our mother's generation or our grandmother's generation focused on their careers?
Right.
Nil in comparison to what we are.
Wouldn't you rather be 35 years old, though, and end up with a guy that's right for you for the rest of your life than 28 years old? And have a divorce behind you already and still searching for that guy?
I think so, but I think what is saying is correct, that this generation has to do it ourselves. Like, the expectation is kind of old-fashioned on what, you know, because our mothers and grandmothers were married young and had children young, and like she said, with the career thing, so I think we have to define it in our own head what our life is going to be like. And then, I mean, I never had a mother that was in my ear about what I needed to be doing, but a lot of women have their mothers telling them, hey, you know, it's a clock's ticking. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just all this feedback you get from everybody wanting to please everybody.
Wendy, you're how old now?
24.
24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like because you're not in a steady relationship right now that you've done something wrong?
Absolutely.
Really?
I mean, it's, been almost a year since I've been in, a year and a half longer since I've been in a relationship. Yeah, you always feel like a failure when you're not in a relationship.
Really?
For that long? Yeah, because I want to get married eventually, but everybody else has relationships. Like, producer Joanna, she's been in her relationship for a year and a half, and she's 25.
Have you
feel, insignificant to your friends and people who are in long-term relationships.
Have you considered working out and doing something different with your hair?
I tried. That doesn't work either.
Maybe you're just not doing anything wrong at all. Maybe you're...
Maybe, but you always feel like you are.
Really?
I think women define themselves by their relationships more so than... And hopefully their careers too now. But I think women define themselves as more important in a relationship than out of one. More so than guys do.
Well, here's what we can do for you. And we've done this from time to time. See if you're hip to this. We do this segment called Relationship Report Card, where what you would have to do is you would have to give producer Tracy like 5 or 6 or 7 phone numbers of ex-boyfriends. And then what we do every morning is we get another ex on, and he comes completely clean on what happened in the relationship and your attitude towards the relationship. And he just gives us a snapshot of why it didn't work out and what your responsibility in that was. And then at the end of the week, at least in the past when we've done this, we've had some, I mean, it's been pretty conclusive on exactly why these guys have been turned off.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to try that, it's a gutsy move because listening to all those guys has got to be tough.
Yeah, no, but I mean, what do I have to lose? I have nothing to lose.
And mm-hmm. it can be valuable information. I mean, we've had, in the past when we've done it, it's mm-hmm. valuable
Wasn't
information.
One girl, didn't she kind of find out that she drank too much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that
well,
one?
That's right.
She never admitted it.
She didn't really admit it, but it was like consistent. Every single mm-hmm. guy was like, well, she's yeah. fun until she gets wasted. And then
and she
I'm not
fought
really
it and
it
fought
anymore.
It and fought it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and in thinking about this yesterday, Jeff and I were talking about this. I think the way we'll do this that's a little bit different is in the past, every time we've had an ex on, we've had the Burt Show listener on who has argued and argued and argued and wouldn't listen after a while because they just don't want to hear what's coming out of the ex's mouth.
Right.
So I think what we're going to do is we'll have the ex on every day, and then we'll only check back with you on Friday. So if you want to go ahead and you want to rebut, Friday is the day, but you'll have all week long to chew on everything that they said to you.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give Tracy the information.
Okay.
Okay.
So if it works out right, then on Monday morning, we'll have the first ex on.
You're a brave girl.
Yes. You are brave.
That could be pretty yes. brutal honesty.
It's
I don't
really
know
brave.
How to do that.
All right. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get some info from you, and we'll see if we can get one of your exes to come on with us. They're not real eager to do this either. It takes a lot of mm-hmm. arm twisting because they're like, man, it's over. It's behind her. Does she really want to know this?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is yes, and we have a tough time convincing them that you really want to hear this. So let's see if we can get one on Monday morning, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, guys, so much.
You're all welcome. Right. Hold on.
It's like thanking the cop who gave you a ticket.
She may not be thanking us at the end of the week.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.